Ramsey TV.
I'm going to continue on Romans chapter 11. Because everything I just did was related. Yesterday was related, the day before was related, Friday was related. This whole thing is about Israel, that God has not forgotten about Israel, to the point that the gospel today can still be embraced. Of course it can. Otherwise, why is the whole thing with Israel about waiting? The book of Hebrews was written to tell them to hang in there. Look at the heroes of faith who died having not received the promises. Paul says in the current era, there is a remnant of Israelites according to the calling of grace, a remnant of Israelites. And unless they're believing in their own gospel, it makes no sense to present this remnant as evidence that God has not thrust away His people. More on that today. Very important topic. Going to go on in Romans chapter 11 because I am, after all, on a mini-series here of Romans 9, 10, and 11. I am Martin Zender. I'm the host of MZTV. There is no other. This is a channel on YouTube that is provided by you. You keep me going. It's true. I did all the studying for 40 years. But you help me keep this channel up, and you help me live so that I can continue to have the strength and the encouragement to do this work. So thank you, one and all. Right before the show started, I was thinking about death. Great topic. Always a wonderful rumination. I was thinking about our brother, Nelson Howe, who died earlier this year. And I thought, well, at least he died like right before the snatching away, which I believe is imminent. I mean, not that nobody wants anybody to die, especially not a member of the body of Christ, but I thought, well, he doesn't have to be dead for long. But then I thought of the Apostle Paul, who died 2,000 years ago, and there's no difference. Think about it. No difference between the Apostle Paul and our brother Nelson Howe. To them, to Paul, it might as well be a few days or a few minutes or a few seconds. And to Nelson Howe, it doesn't matter if he's dead for 2,000 years or 2 minutes. If somebody dies 2 minutes before the snatching away, God forbid, it could happen, depending on God's sense of humor. Somebody dies 2 minutes before the snatching away. Well, they're only dead for 2 minutes. It's the same experience, quote unquote, for Paul. Dead for 2,000 years. No difference to the dead, because the dead have no perception of time because they don't exist. That sounds horrifying. The dead don't exist. Martin Zender, that's a scary teaching. It's the scriptural teaching. It should emphasize to you the absolute necessity of resurrection. That is the antidote to the horror of death. So, let it not trouble you. I mean, I hate it, and we all hate it, but resurrection is the promise of God to us. Now, Romans 11, God does not thrust away his people. Paul says, in the current era, there has come to be a remnant. A remnant of what? Of those who have remained faithful to the promises. The example, remember, was Elijah, who, when he complaining to God, pleading with God against Israel, he said, you know, I'm in verse 3 of Romans 11, they kill the prophets. They tear down the altars. I alone am left. Everybody feels alone. God says to him, no, 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 don't worry, kid. God used to call Elijah kid all the time. Very familial name. I like it. God calls me kid. I've left for myself 7,000 who do not bow the knee to Baal. God always has people. He's always got people through the time periods, whether they're the body of Christ or Israel. And Paul is presenting this remnant as proof that God has not thrust away his people. And as I said to you last week, if this remnant is our believers in Paul's gospel, it makes no sense whatsoever that Paul is presenting them as proof that God has not thrust away his people. So, I mean, there's more proof of it coming up today here on MZTV. So Paul says, thus then, like it was in the days of Elijah, in the current era also, there's come to be a remnant according to the choice of grace. People see that word grace in there and they go, huh, Martin Zander, that proves that these people who comprise the remnant are believers in Paul's gospel, because it's grace, grace. No, ladies and gentlemen, don't be fooled. This is an era of transcendent grace, that's true, but it's grace that God has a remnant, according to the choice of grace. Even those of the circumcision who are faithful, that is grace. Grace is not absent from God's previous works. Just because we are in an administration of the transcendent grace of God, the difference is not grace. The difference is the amount of grace. There's still grace. Noah was shown grace in the sight of God. You can go back in the Old Testament and look up many, many references to grace. Grace is favor given to those who deserve the opposite. So every single person in the Old Testament deserved the opposite. So, I mean, grace is sprinkled all throughout God's operations. The difference between our gospel and the grace shown to the circumcision is the amount of it. Paul calls it the transcendent grace of God. Transcendent. It's higher than high for us. But it was still a choice of grace that allows a remnant at all. So the presence of the word grace proves nothing here for those who want to say that the presence of the word grace proves that this remnant is a Paul remnant. It just, again, it's impossible. Oh, and I want to remind you, the current era, Paul says, in the current era, I've been told that current era expired. It did? What, like a parking meter? Expired like a loaf of bread, like a roll of salami, a box of crackers. It has an expiration date, really? Well, let's find what the current era is. Paul defines it in this very letter, two places, Romans 3:26. This is review. Hang in there. Romans 3:26. Paul says, speaks of God and a display of his righteousness in the current era, for him to be just and a justifier of the one who is of the faith of Jesus. Display of his righteousness in the current era. Is his righteousness still being displayed in us? Yes, yes, then it's still the current era. Romans, the current era is now. Romans 8:18, same letter to the Romans. Romans 8:18 says this, for I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era did not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. The sufferings of the current era. Are you still suffering? Yes. The current era. As long as the body of Christ is on the front burner, as long as the body of Christ is being attended to by God and Israel has been put on hold, this is going to sound strange to you. But I think this is going to help some people who don't yet understand this to get it. As long as there is the body of Christ on the front burner and Israel is temporarily on hold, God is not working directly with them, this is when God needs the remnant. This is when it's important to prove that God has not thrust away his people. It won't be necessary to prove that when the body of Christ is snatched away and God is working with Israel again. And the 144,000 are coming out. And it's going to be obvious. Well, I want you to know, during this era of the tribulation when 144,000 are testifying and the two witnesses, that God has a remnant. He's not thrust away his people. Duh, of course. Of course not. You won't need to make this point. This point only needs to be made when it seems like God has thrust away his people. And the only time it would seem like God has thrust away his people is if the circumcision gospel is on hold and Paul's gospel is in the foreground, active. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. So the fact that the remnant needs to be proven by Paul is actually proof that Israel's on the back burner, and that Israel is on the back burner, as many of you are insisting, then that's proof that we need evidence that there's a remnant and that they're believing in their own gospel. Let's go on here, and I'll show you this. New territory now, new ground. Thus then, in the current era, there's come to be a remnant according to the choice of grace. Now, if it is in grace, it is no longer out of works, else the grace is coming to be no longer grace. This is just saying that the remnant is a remnant by the grace of God. Simple. Now, if it is out of works, it's no longer of grace, else the works is no longer work. Thank you, Paul. Mr. Obvious. What then? Here we go. Listen to this. Verse 7, Romans 11. What then? What do we say in light of all this? What Israel is seeking for. This is proof. Positive. If you needed any more. that there is a group of Israelites today who are able to believe their own gospel, who, by the grace of God, believe their own gospel, because what Israel is seeking for, this she did not encounter, yet the chosen encountered it. What chosen? The remnant according to the choice of grace. So Romans 11:5 is tied into Romans 11:7. Again, Romans 11:5. Thus then, this is Paul's grand announcement in the current era. Also, there's come to be a remnant according to the choice of grace, a remnant of believers. Now we go down to verse 7. What then? What Israel is seeking for, this she did not encounter as a nation, yet the chosen encountered it. Now the rest were calloused. Even as it is written, God gives them a spirit of stupor, eyes not to be observing, ears not to be hearing, till this very day. Here's more proof that the current era that Paul's speaking of is the same current era we're in now, because Israel still does not have eyes to be observing and ears to be hearing, till this very day. Answer me this. Has Israel as a nation changed since Paul wrote this letter? No, they're still stubborn and stiff-necked. They still haven't recognized their Messiah. They killed them then, they'd kill them today. They don't get it still. More evidence that the current era Paul's speaking of is this current era. So Paul's making the point that nationally they're out of the picture. Nationally they're apostate. Nationally they're not observing, they're not hearing. But even while that's going on, there is a remnant of believers. God has not thrust them away. He's cast them away. I gave you that example the other day. I used the example of a fishing pole, except I demonstrated it. He's still connected to them. It just throws out the line, but he's going to bring them back. So my point in verse 7 is what Israel is seeking for. What was Israel seeking for? Were they ever seeking to go to heaven? Were they ever seeking to be justified by faith apart from works of law? Were they ever seeking to be a new creation? Were they ever seeking to consider their national identity as refuse, as Paul does in Philippians chapter 3? The answer to all these questions is an obvious no. So what Israel is seeking for, this she did not encounter, yet the chosen encountered it. This proves that this chosen, i.e. the remnant of verse 5, is not an uncircumcision remnant. It's not a Paul remnant. It is not a body of Christ remnant. It is manifestly impossible for this remnant to be a Paul / body of Christ remnant. Thus, in the current era today, there are people who legitimately grasp onto the circumcision gospel. It doesn't mean they have a temple, because obviously they don't. Doesn't mean they're doing the law, because obviously they can't. But they're in the same position today that they were 2 weeks after Paul was called. Same, because it's still the current era. Paul was called and it began a new era, the era of the nations. The fact that this is still the era of the nations, I say it again, requires that God prove there's a remnant. And Paul's the guy to tell you this. So please don't tell me that this remnant are body of Christ people. And again, you only need to insist on this during the era of the nations. So what Israel is seeking for was never body of Christ truth. She's seeking for the kingdom. She's seeking for her Messiah. She's seeking for the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise that through the seed of Israel, God would elevate them, that seed, and through them, the rest of the earth would be blessed. That's what they're seeking for. This goes along with verse 26 at the end. Thus, all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. The gospel of the uncircumcision, Paul's gospel, was not written before. And then Paul proceeds to quote from Isaiah. Arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer, according as it is written. That's what they're looking for. Arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. He will be turning away irreverence from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them whenever I should be eliminating their sins. That's what Israel's looking for. Does that sound like body of Christ truth to you? I hope not. It's not. I say this for many reasons. One reason is that I know that in the Concordance Publishing Concern, which I know intimately and love dearly, Mr. A.E. Nock, who translated the Concordant Literal New Testament, which I've been using for over 40 years. Over 40 years? Holy crap. Maybe. Okay. He thought that every single believer today was automatically in the body of Christ. Automatically. No matter what. No matter what antenna they had. No matter what message they gravitated toward. They were just, anybody gravitate, according to the Concord Publishing Concern official teaching, because it was the teaching of A. E. Nock, and I've been accused of, well, Martin Zender, just, he just follows whatever A. E. Nock says, that's what Martin Zender says. That is so not true. I depart from him in many instances. Here's one, that every single believer today is automatically in the body of Christ. But I was noticing, as I told you yesterday, my training, my experience in my youth, back in my 20s, I was reading material from Destiny Publishers in Merrimack, Massachusetts. I was listening to these kingdom preachers, and I'm going, there's a group of people in this country and in the world who gravitate toward Israel things. And again, you, my friends, my loyal viewers, are surrounded by these people also. And the question came up today, but Martin, you're saying that they're all proselytes of Israel. You're saying, well, they're not literal Israelites, but you don't have to be a literal Israelite to be attached to Israel. You can be a man or woman of the nations, i.e. Cornelius or the Ethiopian eunuch of Acts chapter 7, and you know, or is it 9? Read all of Acts, you'll find the guy. You can be one of these people and not be a physical descendant of Israel, and you can still adhere to, hope for, wait for the circumcision gospel. You can adhere to it and hope for the manifestation of it, the fulfillment of it. But I say to you that that's true, but I'm also saying that it is quite possible. This might blow your mind. I'm going to say it. Many of you heard me say it before, possibly. I wrote an article about it. I depart from the Concordant Publishing Concern very much on this. I'm an independent thinker, by the way, no matter what, I'm an independent thinker. I've done my own research, for crying out loud. You've seen my Bible. I studied the Old Testament for years and the Kingdom Evangel. I knew about it. I studied it. I read it. I listened to people who were zealous for it. And I thought, this is legit. These people, they don't understand Paul, but they're hot and heavy for the kingdom. And I used to, and again, I used to mock them, basically. So, well, they're just ignorant Paul people. What's the matter with these people? They're in the body of Christ, but they don't believe anything that the body that Paul teaches. That doesn't matter. They're still in the body of Christ. How? How are they still in the body of Christ? Again, they love Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, whatever. So, but this is, I believe, in the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Don't poo-poo that teaching. As you know, there was that Israel was split in two after the reign of King Solomon, and it was a civil war. Basically, they were split into two tribes, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Not two tribes, but two houses. The house of Israel went into Samaria. They built a competing temple. 10 tribes went into Samaria, and 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, remained in Jerusalem. It was Judah and Benjamin, wasn't it? Where was Levi? I'm not sure, because that's the priestly tribe. Maybe they were in Jerusalem too. Anyway, it was split. And way, way back, even before Judah in Israel went into captivity to Babylon, the king of Assyria took the 10 northern tribes in Samaria, took them captive. If I had the choice, I would rather be exiled to Babylon, because I think Nebuchadnezzar was a very colorful character. And I would have liked to have seen him out in the field there, eating grass with Bossy, coming to a realization that all is that Christians haven't come to yet, that God, all is of God, and that God gives to humanity everything that humanity has, and nobody can do anything apart from God. Great, Nebuchadnezzar, take me to Babylon if I have to go. You don't want to go to Assyria. You don't want to go to Assyria. But what happened to those 10 northern tribes is, after they were taken into captivity, they never came back. Judah did come back. Judah came back from Babylon after 70 years of captivity, but the northern tribes, no. Because Assyria got busy fighting wars. They were war happy. Bunch of hawks, those Assyrians, and they went off and they left the kids unattended. Yeah, they left the kids in the house alone, and the 10 tribes wandered. They wandered, they went to the north, they went to the west, they settled Europe. So you might say, well, there's a European guy. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the Western nations and Europe, they're the Christian nations, right? They're the Christian nation. They're the ones who put the Bible in your hotel room. They're the ones who, they're also a bunch of hypocrites. They're also a bunch of do as I say, not as I do. And they also like to lord it over other people, and they're in it. A lot of them are in it for the money. Who does that remind you of? Reminds me of Israel. I wonder if most of the Western Christian nations are remnants of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, that way back when they're actually Israelites, natural-born Israelites. I'll close with this. I asked Jim Corum one time, you know, I'm not going to tell you. It's too good of a story. I got another juicy one for you, but I'm going to wait till tomorrow. There's a question I asked the president of the Concordant Publishing Concern. I was a little gnat in 1993, and I asked troubling questions to the chiefs of the Concordant Publishing Concern, questions that they had never been asked before, and they puzzled until their puzzlers were sore, but they had to admit that the little gnat from Ohio had a point. Maybe the little gnat was correct. They begrudgingly admitted that I might have a point. I'm going to tell you about that tomorrow. It's going to be very entertaining. But what it's going to do is going to help you realize that God is a genius, that he's not going to start from scratch, that when the body of Christ is snatched away, he's not going to have no Israel. This is what people think. And even Enoch thought this, that when the body of Christ is snatched away, God, there's not going to be one faithful Israelite on the face of the earth. Not one. Because everybody who believes in Jesus is in the body of Christ. Yay! Not true. There's not going to be one faithful Israelite. So God's going to start from scratch and have to deal. I've got to teach these people all over again about the Bible. Oh my God, I've got to take them through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. No. God is going to hit the ground running because he's already got the remnant. They're alive today. The 144,000 are alive today. They may not know who they are. There's one of them's in Iowa, one of them's in Nebraska. There's a few in South Dakota. There might be 15 in New Jersey. They're all over the world. They're scattered because God said, I will scatter the house of Israel among every nation of the earth. And they've lost their identity, ladies and gentlemen. They've completely lost their identity. But they're Israelites. If you could trace them back, and God can. Ooh, God can keep track of the genealogy. You better believe he can. So he knows where they are. And once the body of Christ is out of the way, their antenna is going to vibrate like crazy. They're going to realize who they are, and they're going to come to the fore. And God is going to pull them out of every nation of the earth like he promises in Ezekiel. Where is it? 38, the Valley of Dry Bones. Is that 36? Read the whole book of Ezekiel. You'll find it. Bring them out of all the nations where he scattered them, and the world's going to be agape, all except for me. I'm going to go, yeah, I knew this was going to happen. Of course he's calling these Israelites who don't even know they're Israelites. They could be your brother, your sister, your uncle, your husband, your wife. Let them have their gospel, people. Let them look at you when you start talking about justification and conciliation, and let them look at you like you're from Mars, because you are from frickin' Mars. And when this is done, the body of Christ, we're going back to Mars. Not Mars, but, you know, we're going back to our world. And then they're going to come into their world. Until then, let's try to live in peace with these people. After all, Paul did it with Peter. He lived in peace with Peter. Let's live in peace with those among us who are adhering, even today in the current era, to the gospel God gave to Abraham.